Hey, welcome everybody. Brother Goodwin here, approaching the spotlight. We're going to bring you a show today called Are There Aliens Among Us? Are There Aliens Among Us? Spooky spirit beings. And we're going to discuss that in just a few minutes. But before that, I want to read a little bit of something that a preacher wrote concerning Brother Charlie Kirk, who went to heaven recently from a rally, and you all by now, I'm sure, know that story well. And this was written by a pastor, Rich Bitterman. I got it off of Gateway Pundit, and I do not know this preacher, but what he wrote is powerful, and I would encourage you to find this. I actually posted it on the Prophecy in the Spotlight Facebook page. But I don't know how far down it would be now by the time you watch this, but you could find him by going to Rich Bitterman, B-I-T-T-E-R-M-A-N, richbitterman.com. And that's this pastor who wrote this. And again, I don't know him, but I like what he said. I want to just read a few excerpts from this. I certainly can't read it all. It would take too long. But it's quite a tribute to Charlie Kirk. Again, I've never met Brother Charlie Kirk. I liked him a lot, and I cried several times when I saw that he had passed. When I saw his wife coming off the plane with the vice president's wife, that got me too. And those two little kids, and tragic thing. But I did a show on this. We may do something here on this sometime in the future, but. Is civil war coming to America? I think we're asking the wrong question. I think civil war is here, and it's been here for several years, going back to the Floyd thing and even maybe before that. But, I mean, they've been burning buildings and killing people for several years now. Why are we not realizing what's happening around us? And, see, when we think of the civil war, we think of the one in 1861 to 1865, you know, lining up on the battlefield with cannons. And that was civil war, but that's not all that civil war is. Civil war doesn't have to be on a battlefield. And I think that there's a civil war. I think there's a battle between good and evil going on in our country and the world, really. Well, here's a few things that this preacher said in this article that I thought was fabulous. The bullet tore the air in half. A folding chair rattled. A Bible dropped. A young man slumped sideways beneath a white event tent, eyes wide with the weight of eternity. It was supposed to be a conversation, a prove me wrong segment. But this time, rebuttal came not with words, but with a rifle. Charlie Kirk didn't get to finish his sentence. I got the news just before prayer meeting. I contemplated this death as I prepared to lead the saints in prayer. But I didn't feel like praying. Not tonight. My hands were still. My mouth was ready, but my soul was pacing, angry, grieving, tempted. Because hatred in this country isn't simmering anymore. It is boiling. And I'm skipping a little bit here. Europe is trembling. Israel is burning. Rockets lit the sky over Gaza again. And now here on American soil, the blood of a Christian apologist paints the pavement of a university. What do you do with that? What do you say when courage gets gunned down in daylight? Charlie Kirk was no perfect man. None of us are. But he had backbone, where most of us don't anymore. He was a believer, unashamed, unafraid. He understood that real conversations only happen when truth is welcome at the table. And the truth he carried most was Christ. Now, let me skip on down. The enemy wants us afraid. He wants us to see what happened to Charlie and backpedal. He wants the rest of us to whisper, to soften the message, to believe the lie that faith should stay private. But Christ never whispered. He preached in temples, on hillsides, in courtrooms, at dinner tables. And when they told him to be quiet, he picked up his cross. This is really moving. Not a symbolic cross, but a real one, a heavy, bloody, splintered cross. When Jesus said, "Follow me," he didn't hand out maps. He handed out crosses. That's what I remembered tonight. I sat in our prayer space, surrounded by the saints who had brought prayer lists and worn Bibles. And I realized I didn't want to lead them in mourning. I wanted to lead them into battle, not with banners or fists, but with open Bibles and tear-stained prayers. The kind of war that kneels in gravel beside the wounded. So much more here. I wish I could read it all, but let me just read another passage here. I believe that when Charlie Kirk's body slumped to the concrete, his soul stood upright in heaven. Not limping, not silenced, not stunned, but crowned. He didn't fall, he crossed. He crossed the great cloud of witnesses, gained another voice. Now listen to this. I wonder if Stephen met him there. Stephen, the first martyr, the man who got stoned for preaching what the crowd didn't want to hear. A man who in his final breath saw the heavens open. The only time in Scripture we see Jesus standing at the right hand of God. I like to believe he stood again. Are you afraid? Do you feel the tremble in your spirit? Do you wonder if it's still worth it to speak boldly, to carry your Bible, to preach the gospel in a world that doesn't just disagree? Charlie Kirk didn't die for nothing. He died carrying the same message you and I must now carry. The cross stands tall. The tomb is still empty. The gospel has not lost 1 ounce of power. So pick up your cross, wipe your eyes, and keep going. The crown is worth it. The king is coming, and there's still time to speak, even if they shoot. Whew. That's pretty powerful. There was a lot that I skipped over there and a lot that I missed there, but challenge you to check his website and read the whole thing for yourself. You know what we need to do? We need to pick up the baton, and we need to keep on marching. One has fallen in the battle. Others, let's have 10 more take his place. And that's what Doc and I plan on doing here. We're going to keep on going. We're going to keep on sharing the word, sharing the truth, and standing for the word of God. I hope you'll stand with us. All right, we're going to talk about some aliens among. We're going to talk about some UFO stuff today in the program. We'll be right back. Stand by. Hey, welcome everybody. Glad to have you with us today. And we're going to jump right into this. I want to read a verse for you in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables. We have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we're eyewitnesses of his majesty. And Doc, the world is following fables today.
Absolutely.
Fables is simply something that...
Not just the Christian community, but the entire world.
Oh, I say it all the time. The entire prophecy world is chasing these
oh, yeah,
things.
They're chasing not the illegal aliens across the border. They're chasing the ones supposedly out of space.
Yeah. And a fable is simply something that is fiction, something that is not true. Yeah. And... nothing wrong with fables for, you know, stories for your kids and entertainment.
Well, if it's used as a parable, that's basically what they were used for.
Yeah, fables. 2 Timothy 4:4, they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables.
That's
so what's
right.
A fable?
Yep.
It's opposite of truth.
Opposite.
And this is a problem. So the reason we decided to talk about this today, Doc, is what's going on in Congress.
Yeah, Congress is doing everything they can to push this, and whistleblowers supposedly, and sightseers.
Now, a whistleblower came forth, and supposedly something in 2012 that he saw.
Yeah.
And what I found interesting, and he described this triangular thing, said it was more like vapor, that it wasn't solid. And it immediately went up into like 30,000 feet in a split second. And he says, that's impossible. It's not if you understand what that was. And, you know, if like a laser type thing. And
I'm convinced a lot of the things that people see probably are things that have to do with military experiments and maybe even some military apparatus. But I also know, Dan, that a lot of what people see is phenomenon, all right, but it's a phenomenon of nature itself. And the ability of it to be utilized in such a way. After all, light, we talk about laser beams and laser cannons that they have now, and somebody talked about supposedly recently a cluster bomb or a missile got hit by a light beam or whatever. Well, that may be true. If it was, it might have been a laser shot. I mean, Israel's using that for part of their defense over there now, shooting down missiles with it and drones. But also know that what people don't seem to understand, and I'm teaching the book of Genesis in our Bible college this session, and so I was telling the folks last night, I said, you show me anywhere in the week of creation where God created an angel. He didn't.
Right. That's what I believe. I believe it was outside of our universe.
Angels, holy or unholy, are not a part of present creation.
Yeah.
They are not. But they were present at creation. So they understand it. And today we're discovering this and that about God's wonderful creation, and some amazing discoveries are being found. But all we are doing is thinking God's thoughts after him and discovering what God did in the beginning. The devil was there. So the devil, I don't know how much power he has, but I know he's got a pretty, according to the book of Job, it looks like he's got a lot of power. And when you look at the soothsayers in the story of Moses and the Exodus, those demonic men had unbelievable abilities. Where'd they get it? They didn't have it themselves. They had it because their souls were sold to the devil and demonic powers. So the devil can take, I'm convinced, the devil can take the things of God's creation and twist it, turn it, misuse it. And I'm convinced a lot of the things that people are seeing are natural science phenomena with demonic activity, because the devil is going to use. I am convinced, I have been for probably 30 years, at least 25 years I've been teaching this, the devil is going to use UFOs and the alien thing to try to explain away the rapture.
That's exactly right.
And we're getting closer and closer to that, and how you can see so much more of the devil bringing all this out.
And this is all going to come, this is all happening right now. It's in the news.
Yes.
And the rapture is going to happen. Stay tuned later. We'll tell you when. But anyway,
no.
the rapture is going to happen.
Yeah.
And the world is going to explain it away with
I'm convinced
this stuff.
They will. I am convinced they will.
Yeah. Now, what's interesting about this fella, the story you're talking about, this triangle shaped thing.
Overwhelmed by design, scientists turned to aliens instead of God. Yeah, that's a title.
He says, this whistleblower says, I saw an approximately 100-foot equilateral triangle take off from near the NASA hangar on the base.
This
is happening on the base, near this hangar.
Yeah.
Now, what doesn't that tell people anything? This is military stuff. This guy saw something.
I'm not saying he didn't see something.
He saw something that he can't explain. Yeah. That doesn't mean it's from outer space.
And it might have just been he didn't have a security level high enough to have known what it was. But anyway,
they're trying to quench him. They're telling him, this is top, you can't talk about this. So he's complaining. He's a whistleblower, but they're trying to silence him. Well, we know why. Yeah. Because this is top secret stuff and the weaponry. And
what he's
stuff.
Looking at probably was, I have no doubt about it.
Yeah.
So, here's what they're doing. They are turning, instead of going to turn to God concerning creation, they're looking at all of science. And they're realizing finally, after all these years now, evolution cannot be true. It cannot happen.
Yeah, duh. We knew that when it came out.
So they've discovered by their own science now that it can't happen. So rather than turning to the truth of a creator, they're turning to a supposition that aliens seeded planet Earth for a project.
And don't we have a story about that?
I think you had one, maybe.
That's not it, but here somewhere.
You had one a while ago, but anyway. So what they're doing is, instead of turning to the truth and creationism, they'll agree that there's a designer. And I have a problem with creationists going along with the idea of yeah, it's a designer. No, it's God who designed it.
And what do they call that? Something design. I forget.
I can't think of the
intelligent moment. Design.
Intelligent design. Well, yeah.
Let's not call it God. We'll call it just intelligent design.
And so they'll agree with that. No, let's don't agree with that, because that's compromise, and God doesn't stand for compromise. Truth is truth. And true science and the Bible are not at odds against each other.
Yeah.
They are compatible. And
so they discover that there's no way to prove evolution. It doesn't look like it's real. Yeah. Therefore, we know there's no God. We know the Bible.
Yeah, that's
true.
It. That's it. Uh-huh.
So what could it be? Well, there must have been some intelligent life in the past that made all this.
That's exactly what they're saying.
Are. Yeah.
And so they're calling that. And that's why they're looking for sounds and evidences as far out in space as they can, because they're trying to locate these aliens that's probably going to come back and check in on their project of planet Earth.
Yeah.
That's why every once in a while people come up with these ideas that, we've had an alien invasion, and they've been abducting these people, and they're doing experiments on those people, and we're having all these cattle mutilated out here and all these other things. I'm here to tell you, it's not difficult to convince a lost person of these things because they have no defense system against it.
But why is their theory that they're now changing from evolution to this some kind of intelligent design, not God, not the Bible,
right?
Some other being millions of years ago or whenever seeded the planet and created human life. Why would they believe that and not the creation story? Why is that easier to believe than the creation story?
It's very simple, because if you believe this story of Genesis chapter 1 and 2 of creation,
I know where you're going.
Then you'd have to believe chapter 3, the fall of man and sin and the consequences, and that the rest of the Bible tells me one day I'm going to answer to that.
That's
God,
right.
For my sin.
That's exactly what it is. This, if creation is true biblically, then there's a God in heaven.
That's right.
And we've sinned against him.
Exactly.
And we're
right.
Accountable for that. And there's a hell that God's prepared for those who turn from him and those who don't receive Christ and don't trust
in
the Messiah. And so we shake our fist and we will not submit to that God. We make up our own God.
And the sad thing is then, Dan, on the other side of that coin, we have Christian and ministries, churches, people who call themselves believers, who fall in almost the same category. And they're pushing for all of this extraterrestrial stuff and aliens and all of that, just like the lost pagan crowd is doing. So they have no ability, no credibility to reach that crowd because they're compromising with that crowd. It's no different than when evolution began to take hold. The clergy were losing their clout in the world. So they came up with the idea of theistic evolution.
That's what I was
and long
just
ages
saying.
of creation or evolution. God started it and then it evolved along. And instead of a day, maybe there are a million years. Well, all of that was a form of compromise.
Mm-hmm.
That brought Christianity to a place where it didn't have the strength. It has a form of godliness without the power thereof. And so for people to in the Christian world to give in and go along with this alien and UFO and all this other stuff out there, they don't realize what they have done. They have eliminated their ability to communicate the gospel to a world that's lost and looking to that same thing for their God.
Yeah. And people get caught up in this sci-fi stuff. And,
it's entertaining, and it appeals to that part of the nature of the old man.
But you're right. The big thing is we don't want, if to believe in the God of the Bible makes me accountable to that God.
That's right.
And that's really what it is.
That's it. Let me help our folks understand something, too, because I hear this quite often. Aliens had to do it because on the 39th parallel in Egypt, there is a pyramid and the ever spring and the equinox and the winter solstice. At noon, the shadow goes down the corner one side or the other and illuminates a head of a snake. In the Amazon jungles, on the 39th parallel, there's one just exactly like it. Does the exact same thing. So everybody says, there is no way two worlds, thousands of miles apart, people who never had any contact with each other, they think. How could they have? There's only one answer. Aliens had to have given both cultures some of this understanding. Let me help people understand this. You can find the answer to it in your Bible. And the Bible says, in the days of Peleg, the world was divided. Peleg was born in 98 years after the flood, lived to 338 years after the flood. Here's what happened. Before the division of the world that was going to take place in his life, you had also the story in chapter number 11 of Babel and Nimrod. All of these people, when you look at chapter 10, the Table of Nations, where you look where all these descendants went, you say, well, how did Javan get out here on this island, and how did this one get on the island of Greece? Because when they moved there, there were no islands. It was all still connected.
Yeah.
But as the waters were continuing to reshape planet Earth, after God challenged and changed the nation's languages, 70 different languages spread across the world, all these people there, then the world begins to change. So at one time, the Amazon jungle was not near as far away from Africa as it is today. They didn't have somebody outside in the universe illuminate these people and give them understanding. No, they all had the exact same thing and understanding, because for 500 years after the flood, Shem could have given them firsthand information from the pre-flood world.
Yeah, good point.
People don't think of these. I'm here to tell you, as a believer, quit getting sold in and bought into this garbage about something from anywhere else. God made planet Earth to have a people so that he could have fellowship with them.
Yep. In my book, I have a picture of something we call the flying wing.
Yeah.
But not the one that people are thinking of, not this new one. We're talking about 1940s.
Yep. They've got a new version of that now, too. Same thing. Same thing.
Well, the Germans created this during World War II. Now, they never perfected it, and it did fly, but it was expensive, and it was brand new, and they didn't know. Man, they could have won the war with that thing. They had built a bunch of these. These had jet engines in the 40s.
Did you know the new one? The new one that they have built is solar-operated, needs no energy. It can fly forever.
Wow. Hmm. I have a picture of it in here, and you can see this. At a museum, I forget, somewhere here it says where that museum is, but I'm not seeing it at the moment, but you can actually see this thing. My point in this is, if you were alive in the 40s, and maybe you were, Doc, I'm not sure. But
the late 40s, but anyway, yeah.
But imagine being a young man, and you're out fishing in a river outside of Germany.
You see
somewhere,
that thing fly over.
And that jet flies, that flying wing. You'd have went home. You'd have told, I saw a UFO.
And you did. Yeah. It was unidentified to you, and it was a flying object.
Yep. And that's all I'm trying to get people to realize.
Yeah.
Most, and in my book, I document this, most of these sightings from the 40s, 1947, into the 50s, these sightings are almost always, even today, like the one we just read about. What he saw was at
they're outside or at a
base,
military
base. Institution.
Usually it's an Air Force base.
Most of this is, and they say, well, we know it didn't come from them. We called and asked them.
Yeah.
Duh. Duh. In 2025, we haven't figured out that we're being lied to every day by the government.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're not going to tell us that. And by the way, the guy that answers the phone at that base, he doesn't know what's going on. Only people with top security clearances know any of this stuff.
Absolutely.
I was in the Navy. You was in the military. You didn't make it into the Navy. You couldn't pass that test.
No, because it took more of a test to fly over you in the Air Force.
That's a good comeback right there. I was in the Navy. You was Air Force. And I know this. What we learned right from boot camp on, classified information was on a need-to-know basis.
Need to know.
Had nothing to do with your rank, how many stripes you had.
And they even didn't matter how much, because I had a top secret clearance from the field I was working in, but there was a whole lot of things that was above me I didn't know about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it didn't matter how, whether you were a general or a private.
Nope.
It was the need to know.
That's right.
Do you have a need to? If not,
yep,
you don't get it.
Exactly.
And that's what was going on here. There are all kinds of test things going on.
I'm sure a lot of it is no doubt military experimentation, scientific. There are a lot of people like Elon Musk, and he's not the only one. There are many people out there that are doing their own thing on the side.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that a lot. And then I also know how the devil can manipulate creation and make phenomena
appear.
Have
you seen the test, the Tesla? Have you seen the trucks?
Yeah.
Can you imagine one of those in 1950, seeing that? Those things, they don't look like they're from this planet.
No.
They're all metal and they're shaped funny.
Talking about that, before we get off here today, let me just say something about the radios. Because those people in the jungles that have been getting these, I'm sure this technology is mind-blowing to them. And we're thankful for the folks that have helped us. She can show you a couple of pictures of some that's been passed out.
These are some folks in recent days.
Yeah, just recently.
That could be one that came through our ministry. We don't know.
Yeah. Many of them have. We're thankful. We've had several thousand, probably about $5,000 in the last 2.5-3 months that have come in just through the hearers and then others from my ministry for this. And so it's a great opportunity to invest in a language. These people, most of them don't even read, but they can know and understand and hear their language on that Bible.
Yeah.
So and
great opportunity there to get the gospel
Amen.
To somebody.
Thank you.
And all right, well, folks, speaking of that, are you going to heaven when you die?
Amen.
If you was to die right now, right this minute, where would you go? Have you got that settled? You need Jesus. I hope you've trusted Jesus as your Savior. I hope your sins are washed away. If you need help with that, contact us. We'd love to share with you how to be saved. Until next time, keep your eyes on them skies. Hey, thanks for watching our regularly scheduled program. We are a viewer-supported program, and if you'd like to partner with us to help keep us on the air, we would appreciate it.
Well, you can call either our 800 number. It's on the screen there, and donate if you'd like, because we sure could use the help. We're a donor-supported ministry.
Yeah, yeah. And the website's right there on the screen. The phone number's scrolling on the bottom there. And $5, $25, $10,000, whatever.
Well, we've been on, going around 4 years, I guess.
Almost five, Doc. June will be 5 years.
And we've made it this far on the donations of God's people.
We're on nationwide, on different networks. And if you don't know how to find us, contact us. We can get you a brochure. We're on a lot of networks nationwide, CTN, VTN, all kinds of different ones. Of course, we're here on BBS Radio as well. And we appreciate each and every one of you. We hope you're enjoying the content that we bring.
Right.
If you haven't noticed, we are prophecy people.
Yes, and we're old-fashioned Bible prophecy. We're not chasing illegal aliens. We're not chasing aliens and fallen angels and spaceships. We're just trying to follow the guidelines of the Word of God.
That's right. Old-fashioned Bible prophecy. And, well, some of you have been watching us for quite a while already. You know what we are. And we try to put it right on the bottom shelf for you.
Yes.
Okay? So, listen. Partner with us. Pray for us. Yes. Pray for the ministry here. And get involved if you can. We'd love to hear from some of you. Contact us. Send us an email. Send us a text message. Call. We'd love to hear from you. All right. Well, stay tuned for one of the shows from our archives coming right up. Welcome, everybody. Let me ask you a question. Has the Russian bear been awakened? Has Russia been, is the Ezekiel 38 war on the verge of taking place? Last week we did a program about Ezekiel 38 and the Gog Magog war. We've got Dr. Hiltabiddle's DVD here, very exciting stuff. And we're going to talk about that again this week. I've got a whole list of some more questions to for Dr. Hiltabiddle. He's sitting right here. And don't miss the program. Get you some popcorn, get you some sweet tea, and get ready because we're going to begin in just a moment. Welcome, everybody. Here we are again, Brother Dan Goodwin and Dr. Charles Hiltabiddle, Prophecy in the Spotlight. You can find us at prophecyinthespotlight.com, just like it says right there. And everything's there, the YouTube channel, the Rumble channel, all of our TV programs are right there on YouTube for you. And you should subscribe to that channel. You'll get alerts. You'll know when we post a video because there are other videos on there that are not on television, and you're missing a lot if you're not on YouTube. And the Facebook page is there, Prophecy in the Spotlight Facebook page. We got 7,000 or 8,000 people there, I believe, Doc. And so there's a lot going on. I do live streams on Facebook that you don't see if you're a TV watcher. So you need to spread your wings a little bit and find out the other places where you can get us. Doc, the DVD is awesome. And we did a show last week, had a good time. I think people understood some things.
I hope so.
We're going to go a little further. I'm just going to read, she's going to put the reference up there, Ezekiel 38, 1 through 4. You can read these later. I'm just going to read one part of a verse here. Verse 2, Son of man, set thy face against Gog, and the land of Magog.
Mm-hmm.
This is the beginning of Ezekiel 38 and chapter 39.
Yes,
what
they go
we
together.
Understand is the Russian invasion coming down to the Golan Heights, basically,
right.
The mountains of the Lord,
mm-hmm.
And going to attack Israel, try to destroy them, take their land, and
yeah.
God is going to miraculously, through probably human instruments, end that.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is a prophecy. And this is a prophecy that you and I believe is going to happen right around the rapture.
It's,
and we can't be sure about that, but
certainly imminent, it appears.
Yeah, yeah. And it could happen a year before the rapture. We don't know, but certainly looks like it could even be a rapture thing.
It's very
that the rapture
very
could be involved in that.
Mm-hmm.
And we gave some reasons in last week's program. So I want to go a little further. We only got about halfway through my notes here for. That I wrote down while I listened to your video here. And so the first question I want to ask you is this, and this was my introduction today. According to you, Doc, do you believe the bear has been awakened?
Oh, yes. Yes, Russia. Of course, we have an eagle for a symbol for our nation, and various nations have their thing, but England, a lion, and all of this. But the bear is always associated with them, and so that's why we talk about that. But
and
yes,
and we call it the bear.
They're wide awake, and they're on a rampage.
The bear from the north, it's called.
Yeah.
I don't think people realize, if you go look at a globe, we got a globe right there, if you go look at an atlas or a map,
mm-hmm.
they're right above Israel.
Now, that's the
I mean, there's a lot of miles there, but they're right directly above
that's
Israel.
That's the thing about prophecy, it doesn't originate or revolve around America.
That's right.
If you're going to understand north, south, and east and west, you got to go to Jerusalem and look north, south, and east and west.
Exactly right. Exactly right. All right, so I had some other things here we didn't get to that I want to get to today. You mentioned on the DVD there have been three attempts in Bible prophecy to destroy Israel, or there will be.
Well, there will yet be, and they have been. Well, we have historically, in 1948, when they decided, told the world they were a nation again or a sovereign state, there was a war against them. Five nations come, try to destroy them. Well, it didn't work out.
No.
Then again in 68, and then in 74, and there are continually battles taking place. But I believe there's probably Psalms 83 does appear, if it is a battle, and I know it's called an appreciatory psalm, but it appears to be a battle that if it is, it's never happened historically. And if you take those names, ancient names, put them with their geography over geography today, you realize that it is every nation that borders Israel today. And if you put that with the fig tree prophecy, Luke talks about when the fig tree shoots forth its branch, mm-hmm. and all of the trees. Trees are always used symbolically of nations. It would appear that these nations, within about a seven-year period of time, along with Israel, all came into their name and geography as they are today, and it matches what Psalms 83 talks about. And these are the areas right now that are sending rockets over into Israel, and Israel is retaliating. It could be that Psalms 83 war. Then Isaiah 17 talks about that. You have the mention in Jeremiah chapter 49 of things having to do with what's modern-day Jordan, as well as Lebanon. Syria or Damascus has prophecy against it. And then there's going to be the battle that we're discussing today, the ultimate battle of trying to destroy Israel before, I believe, the tribulation. Mm-hmm. And we know Israel's going to be in the tribulation because the whole purpose is to purify a nation for the millennial reign.
Let's get Mr. Putin on the phone now and let's help him understand that, that the Bible says that Israel's not going to be defeated. And by the way, Mr. Putin, you're going to lose that battle.
You're going to lose
it. Is he watching our program today up there in Moscow?
One-sixth of the army is all that's going to let be. Can you imagine 20% is all that's going to survive? And Israel's going to come out fairly unscathed because it appears God, either supernaturally or in whatever means God's choosing, is going to bring a great defeat to this confederated army that's coming.
Well, I'm getting out of order, but you mentioned something that triggered my memory. It's on my next page here. If I can find it. The hailstorm.
Yeah.
You said on the, not only is it the army that gets, a lot of them die, but you said, but also upon their countries.
In chapter 39, which, by the way, gives extra information with this battle, it does appear that not only is this judgment of the hailstones of fire and brimstone, not just destroy them, but it's going to come upon their nations.
And I wrote down here, and this, I think this was part of it. You got to bear with me, because I wrote this stuff down while the video's playing. And I wrote down under that, not only he takes out their countries, not just the leader, or not just the army, but the nations themselves are going to suffer some destruction. And then I wrote this down. You must have mentioned the destruction of radical Islam.
Yes, I'm convinced, and this is probably, or at least a great possibility, that what we know of as radical Islam today will be defeated. That doesn't mean Islam itself is defeated, because it's no doubt a part. But you need to understand that the false religion that's being developed right now between quote-unquote Christian leaders and Islamic leaders are not the radical Islamists.
Right.
They're the moderate.
And if you remove the radical Islam, how simple would it be for Islam that is left with the more moderate thinkers, with the watered down version of quote unquote Christianity, to have that end time religion for? I can see this all happening easily with this war.
Now you said this. The Ukraine is coming back under Russia, and yes, it's prophetic.
Not all of Ukraine. You got to understand. I give you some maps that you can see in the DVD, in PowerPoints. Magog is the people group. You got to go all the way back to the 10th chapter of Genesis, where you get the Table of Nations. Magog is one of the descendants of Japheth, and Magog spread all the way across from China all the way to the Dnieper River, we call it, which is the eastern part of Ukraine. And already Russia has taken Crimea a few years ago, and they now have these districts that once were Russian. They're Russian-speaking people back again. Because I'm convinced that prophecy, when it was given, it was given to a people group living in their geography. And it'll be fulfilled with that people group in that geography.
Yeah, that, I've heard you say that many times. That's very interesting.
Russia is nothing but the Magog people, along with all of the nations that end with Stan, are also Magog people, or descendants from Magog.
Now, I don't know where I wrote this down, but I'll ask it anyway. A lot of people are confused about, they confuse this war with Armageddon.
Uh-huh.
And they're not the same.
No, they're not the same at all. if you, in the DVD, I show the places where these two battles completely different. The Battle of Armageddon's in the Valley of Jezreel, or Megiddo Valley. This battle's on the mountains of the north. The Armageddon is all the nations basically of the world gathering there.
In a place called Megiddo.
In Megiddo. It's Jezreel's Valley. But anyway, but here is a specific set of names. And these specific set of names are different than the set of names in Isaiah or Psalms 83 that we spoke of a moment ago. So, no, they are not the same. They're at least 7 years apart.
Yeah. Yeah, and it could be exactly 7 years.
It could be, but they're at least that much apart, and they are by no means the same. They may have some of the same people, and people get this confused then when you get to chapter number 20 of the book of Revelation. The final war that's going to take place when the devil's let loose for a season has the same names, but you need to understand, people don't ever forget their history.
Now let's just hit this one more time to make sure people got this. And I wrote this down while listening. There's a difference in the mountains of the north and Armageddon or Megiddo.
Oh yes,
big difference, different place.
The mountains of the north are what's called the Golan Heights today.
Yeah.
And the Golan Heights are providing people have. You know, we live in America here, and from where we are, it's a five and a half hour drive to Chicago. Or it's a 10 or 11 hour drive from here to Dallas. Well, in the Middle East, it's only 85 miles from Jerusalem to Damascus. And it's less to Amman, Jordan. And so everything there is relatively close together.
Yeah.
And so what they can do is they can fly out over Haifa, and they can come back in through the valleys between the mountains of the north, the Golan Heights. They can pop out in Syria, being totally undetected, and drop their ordinances and come back to safety. The Golan Heights, that's why President Trump declared the Golan Heights belong to Israel. And again, that's another sign that Israel is still underneath the thumbprint of Gentile rule.
Okay, well, Doc, we're going to get into what I think is some of the most interesting questions I have for you here that I think folks are going to like. But real quickly, let's just thank the audience for their financial support, the partners out there who keep us on the air. We are viewer supported completely. We have no sponsors, so the gifts of God's people are how we stay on the air here.
Amen.
And we appreciate every one of you. And of course, in about another month or so, that bill comes due again. And we appreciate everybody that writes a check or donates on the website. Some of you even do the automatic monthly thing. You can do that also at the website. And so we're coming up on that pretty close. We're about halfway through the quarter, or maybe a little more. And those bills will be coming due again. So we appreciate it if you'd pray about that and do what you can. And my hair gets whiter every time it gets close to the end. And by the way, we want you to know that Doc and I are both preachers. We both travel. I just got back. He mentioned Dallas. I was just down there. I just preached in Kilgore, Texas. And he and I both travel. And Doc has cut his down a little bit because he's not quite as young as he used to be. But we are both available to talk with you about doing something at your church. Just contact us, let us know. We'd love to talk to you about possibly doing something in your area. And all right. And we have one other need that we mentioned last week. We want to mention it again. Since these are taped in advance, yeah, we don't know where we stand on this, but we have a roof problem here in the studio, and we have to put a new roof. It's $15,000. I don't know where we stand on that now. We may be halfway. I'm not sure. By the time this airs, if you'd like to help with that, she's got that up on the screen right now. Don't write a check to Prophecy in the Spotlight. Don't write it to Dan Goodwin. If you do, I'm going out and buy a new car or some groceries or go to take a trip to Hawaii. But if you're going to give to the roof thing, it needs to be on Doc's website. You see it right there. The address is there if you want to write a check. And if you don't get that, and you just call the 800 number, my daughter, the ladies will give you the information how you can get the money to the roof thing, and appreciate that very much. Amen. Okay, let's jump back into this, Doc, because this is some exciting stuff that I want to make sure we get in here. The Bible talks about the horses coming in Russia. Mm-hmm. They're coming. The army is coming on horseback. Yeah. It talks about, yeah. I want to ask you a question here. Are the Russians really coming on horses?
You know, I remember years ago, maybe 30 years ago, people talking about, the buildup of horses in Russia and all of this stuff.
Yeah.
And what people need to understand is that prophecy is written using terminology that every era of time,
right,
would have a general understanding of concerning implements or instruments of war.
Yeah.
Even today, we don't use sling stones, but everybody understands that a sling stone was used in battle. And today, we don't use bow and arrows, but everybody even today understands a bow and arrow is an instrument that can be used in warfare. No, they're not coming riding on their horses. That's it's a term that everybody would have understood. It's a mobilization of your army.
Yep.
Today, they can you imagine Ezekiel saying, now there's a day coming when an airplane is going to be able to fly twice the sound of speed and deliver. Nobody would have had an idea. Yep. You're crazy. What are you talking about?
Yep.
But everybody has always read it and understood this is having to do with the mobilization and implements of war. But we don't use those kind anymore.
Yeah. And I agree with you 1,000%. I just listened to somebody recently talking about this, and they took the other view, though. Of course, yes, the terrain is so bad up there, they're going to use them horses to get around. And I just couldn't believe what I heard.
No, there's not. No, folks, listen. Prophecy is written. Terms that are used, they need to get our book, I guess, on terms of prophecy. But just like trees are symbolic of nations. Well, so you're going to read that portion about the fig tree and all of the trees, and you're going to say, well, that's literal. No, it's prophecy written like a parable, using something literal to explain something literal.
Yeah.
And so, no, I don't believe they're bringing their horses.
No, and of course, she's trying to find it there to put it out. But this is the Bible terminology, Bible prophecy terminology. Doc and I wrote this together. This would be a great book to have on your bookshelf and in your office, and good to give as a gift to your preacher. And,
yeah, I gave 5 of them away to the 5 missionaries that were at our missions conference this week.
Right. Ah, there it is. She's got it up now. And I hate to say this because I'm part of, I wrote half of it, but this is a good book.
They were very appreciative. One of them skimmed through and said, oh, man, this is going to help me in teaching.
Oh, he must have found the parts that I wrote. And I just opened it up. The 7-sealed book, Evangelist Dent. This was a piece that I wrote. And the 7-sealed book. I didn't learn that in Bible college.
It's a good book to help people with both. I'm discovering that a lot of our preachers are very appreciative of it.
The Judgment Seat, Charles Hilterbiddle. The Third Temple, Dan Goodwin. The Marriage Supper of the Lamb, Dr. Charles Hilterbiddle. That's how it's set up. We kind of tried to split it up half and half. Yep. In the book, the stuff that I didn't know, I gave to him. So, all right. Well, quickly here,
Doc. He's not joking, folks.
And real quickly here, along the same line, the Bible talks about in that battle, the blood will be up to the horse's bridle.
Yes. If you've looked at a picture, and I have a picture in the DVD of the Megiddo Valley, or in the Old Testament, it's called the Valley of Jezreel. You'd just about have to have the blood of 8 billion people in order to fill that whole place up to that depth. It's, I think, symbolic of the fact of the catastrophic devastation.
Yeah.
That's Armageddon.
And the point is, that verse helps prove your point that they're not coming on horses. It's symbolic.
Yes.
And I don't know, I'm not a mathematician, but I don't think there's enough blood in the entire world to fill
that entire valley to be that deep.
And so, if they did, there'd be nobody alive because everybody's blood would be in there. I just don't think that's symbolic.
Again, it's types and figures. By the way, the book of Revelation, verse number 1, tells you it's going to be understood by signs and symbols. Signification, or signified, means to make known by signs and symbols.
Well, quickly, because I want to get to these. The Great Wall of China, I had never heard that before. You had some insight on that.
Well, the reason why, Chinese history will tell you. They built the Great Wall of China to keep the Magogs out.
Which is what we call today the Russians.
And if you know anything about, everybody probably has heard the name Kublai Khan. And these warriors, Mongols, they're all descendants of Magog. Mm-hmm. And so they moved all the way. They had in the 6th century B.C. all the way from that area of China all the way into modern-day Ukraine was the territory of the Magogs. And they were not the only kingdom. Matter of fact, they were as large or larger kingdom than the Roman kingdom, just in a different position. There were 5 major kingdoms all going at the same time in 6th century B.C. Most people don't know the difference between world history and Bible history.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you got to have a little world history to understand.
And you have pointed that out, and I think you've helped me with that. In Daniel, when it talks about the 5 kingdoms of the world, or the 4, and then the revival.
Well, that's
one, that's revolving around Israel.
To God's people, to children, born again people, and Bible students, we really only consider the 4 major kingdoms, from the head of silver all the way down, as if we think those were the only kingdoms that existed.
Right.
But there were many kingdoms that existed outside of those 4. The reason why they're important is because they are the ones represented of trampling Jerusalem under their feet.
Yep, under the foot of men. And,
yes.
They're going to answer for that one day.
All right,
well, let's hurry this because this is interesting too. I want you to talk about the passage in Ezekiel 39:11 that talks about unwalled villages because there's a lot of misunderstanding there.
Well, I've been in Israel several times, and you've been in Israel. Many of our people, no doubt, watching us have been to Israel. How many walled villages did you see?
None.
Now, you might have went through some checkpoints if you went to certain places.
Yeah, Bethlehem, yep.
Yeah, which, by the way, is not really Bethlehem. But anyway, that's for another story. But how many cities in America is walled villages? You name me a country with walled villages. What he's simply saying is, you can understand that this is a prophecy that's going to be fulfilled in a time when people are not living in walled villages. So this prophecy could not have been fulfilled, number one, almost 2,700 years. Russia and Iran, or Bible Persia, never had any political agreement together. And there were walled villages until more recent history.
Yeah.
So walled villages is simply giving us an indication. We're living in a time when there are no walled villages. This is something that's going to take place. It's kind of like you'll find other terms say in the latter days.
Yeah. Okay, we got a couple minutes left, Doc. I want to bring this back down to where we live and where our audience lives. Mm-hmm. I want to ask the question that they have right now out there in TV land. What does Ezekiel 38 and all this stuff we're talking about, Ukraine, and what does this have to do with the person sitting in their living room today? What does this mean?
Okay, number one, I think it's telling you that the major kingdoms, the king of the north, the east, the south, and the west, are all formulating into their position for leadership, moving into the tribulation period. Secondly, I think it's telling us how much closer we're going to be to this digital currency that we've been talking about and all of the things for a one world order. Because what's going to happen is you're seeing these groups align themselves, this group align themselves, and somewhere they're going to have to meet and come who's going to be in charge. It tells us we are getting very near the end of the church age. And as God's people, we need to do, number one, we need to do everything we can to at least get our loved ones saved.
Yeah.
And we ought to try to share the gospel with as many people as we can. Number three, I think we ought to be investing the material things that God gives us, not to store them up for ourselves, but into the kingdom of God to try to advance the movement of God for the reaching of souls while we still can.
Yeah. That's very well said, Doc. I agree 100%. Well, folks, we're coming down to the last minute of the program. These have been some sobering things this week and last week about the Ezekiel 38 war. That's, it isn't that it might happen. It is going to happen. Prophecy is history told in advance. This God told us what he saw in the future happening. It will happen, cannot be changed. The question is, friend, what are you going to do about it? Where are you going to go when you die? This thing's all coming to an end. The rapture's coming. Judgment's coming. Are you saved? Are you born again? Do you remember a time in your life when you realized you was lost and on your way to hell? Do you remember a time in your life when you got on your face or on your knees or you bowed your head and you trusted Jesus as your Savior? I hope you've made that decision. I hope you're a child of God today. I hope you're in the kingdom, and I hope you're ready for Jesus to come back for us, because he's coming. And he's coming soon, ready or not. Here I come. And if you need any help with this, contact us. We'd love to talk to you. We'd love to help you with this. Well, until next time, keep your eyes on them skies.